Iti bom yartito bhagavir bhagavan bhakti namraya datva bhayam bom agrihum praveshat sakalar dimat. Synonyms: Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Shukadeva Goswami said.
Shukadeva Goswami said.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Bhumi.
Bhumi.
By goddess Bhumi.
By goddess Bhumi.
Artita.
Artita.
Pray to.
Vagbihi,
in those words,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Lord,
Bhakti,
with devotion,
Namraya,
humble,
Tatva,
giving,
Abhayam,
fearlessness,
Bhomagriham,
the residence of Bhomasura, Ravishat.
Ravishat.
He entered.
Sakala.
Sakala.
All.
Riddhi.
Riddhi.
With opulences.
Mat.
Mat.
Endowed.
Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by goddess Bhumi and words of humble devotion, the Supreme Lord bestowed fearlessness upon her grandson and then entered Bhomasura's palace, which was filled with all manner of riches. There's no purport. Whoever wrote this on the verse should have written the other one. Anyway. Dogaya Hogaya. Right? We'll read the next one. Tatra Rajanya Kanyanam Satsahasradikayutam Bhoma Ahratanam Vikramya Rajabhyo Dadrushe Hari. We'll read the synonyms also. Tatra.
There.
Rajanya.
Rajanya.
Of the royal order.
Of the royal order.
Kanyana.
Kanyana.
Of maidens.
Of maidens.
Satsahasra.
Satsahasra.
6,000.
6,000.
Adhika.
Adhika.
More than.
More than.
Ayutam.
Ayutam.
He princes his 10,000. But ayuta means countless. Ayuta means countless, countless and countless. But he writes here 10,000. Anyway. Boma.
Boma.
By Boma.
By Boma.
Avratanam.
Avratanam.
Taken.
Taken.
Vikramya.
Vikramya.
By force.
By force.
Rajabhya.
Rajabhya.
From kings.
From kings.
Tadrushe.
Tadrushe.
Saw.
Saw.
Hari.
Hari.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. There, Lord Krishna saw 16,000 royal maidens whom Boma had taken by force from various kings. Purport. Srila Siddhar Swami provides evidence from the sage Parashara as quoted in the Vishnu Purana, Canto 5, Chapter 29, Verse 31, to the direct effect that there were actually 16,100 royal maidens imprisoned in Boma's palace. Kanyapure sakan sakanyanam sodasha sodasha tulavikrama shata dikani dadruse sahasrani mahamate. Quote, within the maidens' quarters, O wise one, that lord of unequaled prowess found 16,100 princesses. End quote. Another relevant verse from the Vishnu Purana 5:29.9 is as follows. Deva Siddha Suradinam Nripanam Cha Janardana Hitavahi So Surakanya Rurodha Nijamandire. Quote, the demon Boma Asura kidnapped the unmarried daughters of demigods, siddhas, asuras, and kings, O Janardan, and imprisoned them in his palace. End quote. That's the end of the purport. Vrindavani Ramana Reti Prasadabhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Suparimule Jnanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samsara Tukka Jalato Paditasya Kama Kodari Nakramakarai Kavalikritasya Durabhasana Nigaritasya Nirasrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Kopavesha Gishoro Sahatara Ganabindai Kridamana Vijesho Natabarajita Vesho Nila Pita Maradyo Jagadacharare Hetu Rama Krishna Natosmi Vanjakalpadra Vichaki Pasana Vivichakavidanam Bhavani Vivishnavi Pyonamonama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Boma Asura, where was his place? Do anybody know where his city is? Pragjyotishtapur, right. So that was his name, Pragjyotishtapur. But what modern city in India does that name correspond to? Anybody know?
Dispur.
Maybe if that is near the other city that I'm thinking about. Anybody got another idea? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Come on, you guys. No, nobody's into geography or anything like that. There's one fellow friend of mine, when he got married, they gave him an atlas, you know, an atlas of India, and it showed different transparent, you know, films that went over the map in different ages, what the cities were called in Mahabharata time and different things. Kind of cool. You know, it's like a, you know, historical type of thing. And he had, you know, the little films that went over that and they'd tell you what the names of the cities were and like that. So, Pragjyotishtapur was actually Guwahati. And it's famous, you know, as the place where Boma Asura lived, Narakasura. Narakasura was actually the son of Bhumi Devi when she was raised by Varaha Dev. Then the Lord raised her up with his horns in his form of Shukara Rupa, in the form of the boar. And he went into the nether regions of the Garbhadak ocean and raised her up. And by the touch of the Supreme Lord body, she became pregnant, Bhumi Devi. And she conceived this child, Narakasura, who was previously quite okay. But unfortunately, due to a bad association, Dvivida and others, he actually became a demon. And because he became a demon, he tried to exude his influence on the earth in a very bad way by, as before mentioned, defeating different kings in the area. And part of defeating kings was taking away booty, of course, opulences, riches, whatever things the kings possessed, as well as their daughters, by force. So he kidnapped, according to the Vishnu Purana, daughters from demigods, siddhas, and so many different people, as well as from kings like that. So all these girls, unmarried daughters of these demigods, siddhas, asuras, kings, etc., and imprisoned them. So all these girls were very forlorn and were very sad at their imprisonment. And so the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Dina Vatsala. He's very, very compassionate upon poor, helpless people that are his parts and parcels. So, first of all, then after her son was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhumi Devi glorified the Supreme Lord's qualities and brought forth the son of Narakasura, who was frightened by the whole thing, by this whole thing, and his mind was filled with fear. And the Supreme Lord accepted Bhumi Devi's prayers with great humility that she offered, requesting that Krishna please bestow fearlessness on her grandson. And because of Bhumi Devi's great devotion to the Lord agreed to her. It's like, it reminds me of also of Surabhi, that when Indra had offended the Supreme Lord by casting down rain on the residents of Braja and caused distress to them, and by the Sambartaka clouds, rain. Then all the Brajavasis who were busy in their agricultural activities and didn't have much time to be with each other as a result, they all came underneath the hill and that Krishna had raised, and they had a big party there in their loving company to see Krishna to their heart's delight, etc. So then afterwards, when Krishna, as described in Ananda Vrindavan Champa, when Krishna threw the hill up in the air and ran out from underneath it after dispelling the cows, after kicking out the cows from underneath there twice. He had to kick the cows out twice. They were so attached to be with Krishna, they ran back inside. And Krishna told them, get out of here. So they had to leave. So then when he threw the hill up in the air like a child throws a toy mushroom, and then the hill landed exactly in the same spot where Krishna had been previously settled. Then Krishna and his sakas, they went around and said, let's see what goes on with this hill. We'll see if everything is all right. So they walked around the hill in different places to inspect and see if there was any damage due to the torrential rain. And fortunately, things were not so bad. Then while he was wandering around, then Surabhi Devi came there, taking the shape of a cow, and glorified Lord Krishna, that you protected my descendants, the cows of Braja, from all types of anxieties and awarded them fearlessness by protecting them from the machinations of Indra. And we wish to have you as the Lord of all the cows, and we don't care for any other Indra. And therefore, after that, she bathed Krishna with her own milk. And by that, he was known. Then Indra, who was right behind her, it says this in the Govardhanastikams, Govardhanashraya doctrine. It says there that Chakrain Anukatak Chakara Surabhi Yena Abhisheka Mahare Yatakache jaditena nandita janam govinda kundakriti kastam go nikarendra pada shikaram govardhanam nasrayat. Raghunath Das Goswami says, who won't take shelter of that Govardhan hill? Where? Near Govinda Kunda is a place that delights all the people of this world. Is where and Surabhi glorified Lord Krishna and bathed Krishna with her own milk, followed by Indra, who was very, very humbled, whose pride had been broken, and is very humbled. And he bathed Lord Krishna also at her orders, and coronated Krishna as the king of the cowards there at Govinda Kunda. Who won't take residence there in Govardhan then? So she requested the Supreme Lord, this fellow is very sorry. Actually, Krishna was so angry at Indra, he wasn't even looking at him. He didn't even notice he was there. But because Surabhi Devi, who had taken the form of a cow, had glorified the Supreme Lord very suitably, and he was pleased with her, then when she requested some benediction from the Supreme Lord, that, hey, this fellow, my nephew, yeah, Indra, is sorry. Help him out, you know? Then Krishna said, okay. And then Krishna accepted him back. So that spot is Surabhi Kund, just before Jadipura. And the benediction is, if anybody has offended Krishna, Krishna will take them back. They go, hey. This is the spot. At least put water on your head. If not, take a full bath, whatever, you know? Put water on your head. Be careful, however. Water from these kundas, sometimes they get polluted by Vrajavasis in different ways. One devotee, disciple of Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, who was in the Sanskrit Patshala, he almost died by drinking unfiltered water from Surabhi Kunda. So you may have to filter it. Can't you take water from the city's kundas? Filter it, possibly boil it, you know? And after filtering it nicely, then you can use it for your Lord's Abhishek, like that. But anyway, that's the benediction of that kunda. Anyone who bathes in that kunda, if Krishna has been offended by you, by your actions somehow or another, he'll take you back. So Surabhi Devi propitiated the Supreme Lord on behalf of Indra and got Indra forgiven. That was the plan. And it works. It worked handsomely. Because the Supreme Lord is Dina Vatsala, he's Bhakta Vatsala. In the same way, when her son had offended the Supreme Lord, Was it the fault of Bhumi Devi? No. She was the Supreme Lord's consort. She was the Supreme Lord, under the Supreme Lord's shelter. She, indeed, because of being afflicted by all these different kings that were harassing her, she cried in the form of a cow, propitiated Lord Brahma, and said, look, I'm really suffering. And Brahmaji asked the Supreme Lord, please help her out. And the Lord agreed to incarnate, just to please her, to remove the burden of the world. She was also manifested as Trivakra, the threefold bending hunchback lady of Mathura, who supplied Krishna and Balaram with very nice scented ointment. And it was the expansion of Satyabhama, Vishwanath Chakravartipad said, who Krishna, after being gratified by her donation of nice scented oil, then Krishna desired to please her. So he pressed her feet with his lotus feet and used his two fingers underneath her chin and picked her right up. And by the touch of the Supreme Lord's fingers, she became an extraordinarily beautiful girl with all wonderful qualities and beauty, full bodily beauty features and everything, simply by being touched by the fingers of the Supreme Lord. And she became so captivated by the Supreme Lord, etc. And the Lord satisfied her desire in a nice way after he finished killing Kamsa. It wasn't proper for him to do it right away because he was worried about what the people on the road were thinking. Vishwanath Chakravartipad said, this is the Rajapata, this is the main road, and we've got pebbled around here. And she was very forthright about her desires. And Dauji, he said nothing because he knows everything. You know, he didn't say, he had anything to say. And the boys, they were quiet. They were waiting. What's going on between Krishna and this girl? You know, who is this girl? You know, and what is her relationship with Krishna anyway? With our buddy, what's going on? You know, and they were just waiting. What's going to happen? And Krishna watched it. He was concerned that his friends were watching. So he told her, well, those that are agrihanam, those who don't have a house, for such travelers like us, beautiful girls like you are certainly able to give nice comforts to them. So we'll come and see you later, you know, when we finish our work here in Mathura. So the boys, and she was not satisfied, but of course she couldn't do anything about it. She had to accept the conclusion. Like Akura. Akura said, come to my house, Akura said. And Krishna says, I want to stay here with my relatives from Vrindavan, here in the forest. And then we'll come into the city. We'll come and see you later. You know, and so Akura couldn't do anything either. He was just holding on to the Lord's promise that he would again come. You know, so that's it. So the same way Kubja was the same thing. She couldn't do anything. She just had to hold on to the Lord's promise within her heart that the Lord said something. And the boys, it was really diplomatic. The boys, they couldn't razz Krishna because, you know, Krishna's playing games with this Mathurawali, you know. And, you know, and why is he so attracted to this Mathurawali? And what did he do all these things for her for? What for, you know? And they couldn't razz him because he deflected it. He deflected them by saying, later, we'll come and see you, Lali, later, after we take care of Kamsa, you know, we have our business to do here in the city, you know. So the boys, they couldn't say anything because Krishna's a big liar, you know. Sometimes he says he promises so many girls in Vrindavan. We see it all the time. He promises so many girls all the time in Vrindavan, he's going to come to them, and he doesn't, no? So, you know, if he goes to this girl later, we can razz him later, but we don't, you know. So it was really diplomatic. It was right on the road. It was not proper to entertain her desires on the road, right? He had a deflector, right, for the public's benefit, and for the benefit of his brother and his friends who were right with him. It was really intelligent how Krishna did everything. In any case, but Bhumi Devi manifested herself at Trivakra. It was a manifestation of Bhumi, Prithvi herself, who was bowed by the intensity of the kings. She was in three places. Be the weight of the burden, and Krishna straightened her up, promising that I will defeat all these kings. I will finish all these kings and remove the burden and your anxiety, you know, simply by his two fingers. How wonderful was Krishna. In the same way, and Krishna bestowed fearlessness on Kubja. Krishna bestowed fearlessness on all of his devotees. That's the nature. There's a verse, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse number 34, which is mentioned in Sanatan Shiksha, a really good one. And this shloka, I memorized this one Ram Navami, because I was thinking, castigating myself for not having anything to say when you're in front of Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. You should say something now. You didn't memorize anything for them, you know. So that I made a sankalpa. All right. This Ram Navami, I'm going to memorize a nice verse about Ramchandra. So I did. And this verse was famous. Sanatan Goswami. Mahaprabhu quotes it to Sanatan Goswami. He says, Sukrit eva prapano yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvadattasmai tadam etadvratam mama. And as soon as I heard the Sanskrit, I thought, this has to be from Prabhupada, it mentions in the purport. This is from Ramayana, 17th chapter, verse number 33, in Yudhakanda. I go, Yudhakanda? This must have been about Vibhishana. It just dawned on me. It must have been about Vibhishana. And sure enough, that's what it was. It turns out it was Sagriva. Sagriva goes, look at this. Here's Ravana's brother, and he's coming with some of his ministers, his mantris, and they're all hovering in the Akash, and they're all wanting to have a meeting with you, and we're suspicious about it. You know, maybe they want to infiltrate us, and what's going on? I don't know. It's not... I'm suspicious. And Krishna said, Ramchandra said to Sugriva, look, even if Ravana is ready to come and bow his head and surrender, I'm ready to give him protection. What to speak of Vibhishana? So then he quoted this verse. This is when Ramchandra spoke this verse. It is my vow that if somebody once promises takes shelter of me, offers respects and promises to me that I belong to you, and says that, Tamasmiti Chayajate, and speaks out that I belong to you, Abhayam, then I am going to award him fearlessness. Sarvada Tasmai. Tasmai. At that time, I award him fearlessness. Sarvada Tasmai. At all times, I award him fearlessness. Dadami. I'll give that. Etabratam mama. That's my vow. And so after hearing that, you know, strong words of Ramchandra, then Sugriva goes, okay. His doubt was dispelled. It was for Ramchandra's pleasure. The doubt of Sugriva was simply for Ramchandra's pleasure. But Sugriva was, opinion was changed by the determination and the statement of Ramchandra Bhagavan. So Ramchandra awarded fearlessness to his devotees, the residents of Ayodhya, to the Banaras, the servants, and to Vibhishan also. Anyone who took shelter of his lotus feet, like that. So in the same way, Bhumi Devi requested the Supreme Lord that with humble entreaties that this boy, my grandson, his mind is a little blown from all the violence and seeing the ghastly killing of his father and all the violence, and he's very scared now, and he just he needs shelter. And upon her statement, the Supreme Lord agreed and awarded fearlessness to the grandson. And incidentally, there's another reason why Krishna also agreed to award fearlessness, because Krishna is not going to stay in Pragjyotishtapur. He was there with Satyabhama, his wife, right? And he was there, and he took out Narakasura, and then he put the grandson of Narakasura as the king, as a vassal king. He wasn't going to stay there. So it was part of his plan also to award fearlessness to Bhomasura's son, so that he could take over the kingdom, and the praja, the citizen of Pragjyotishtapur, would be okay, like that. So it was part of Krishna's arrangement. How wonderful is Krishna to do that. Then, as he entered in, he saw all those girls. And simply, he went into the maiden's quarters, the internal section of the palace, that generally no men went into. But naturally, in this case, he was either by providence or by curiosity or whatever. After the victor, you know, takes all, right? So the idea of going in there and seeing what was going on. So then when all those girls that were all kumaris, they were all young princesses, they were all there. And as soon as they saw Krishna, the most beautiful of all males, they immediately desired that, oh, look how wonderful he is. If only I could be successful to have him like my husband. The reason why they were like that, because they felt very forlorn. They had been thinking a long time that because we've been kidnapped by this demon, you know, what success will it be for our fathers? Even if we got out of this clutches of this demon somehow or other, how would our father take care of us? How would our father arrange our marriage? The idea of it is that if a girl has been outside of her father's care for one night, even for one night, the Gaonwalas, the neighbors, nobody would accept her. She must have been violated by somebody. If she was away from her father for one night, that was the way it was in Indian culture. So these girls thought, my God, how are we going to get married? How are we going to have a normal household life? And with that, and they must have lost hope for it. They must have contemplated suicide a number of times. Now, these poor girls were completely finished, you know, like this. So Krishna is Dina Vatsala. But as soon as they saw him, they go, look at this handsome boy, you know, this handsome personality. How wonderful he is. If only we could be so fortunate to attain such a person like him, they thought. They immediately desired it. So because that, with all within their hearts, they probably kept troop. They probably didn't say it to any other girl. hey, what do you think of this guy? You know, of course, if you're friends, right? If you're friends, then you might say, hey, look at this handsome fellow. What do you think of him? You know, like that. But it says here in the shloka that those girls, they thought within themselves, in their minds. The women became enchanted when they saw the most excellent of males enter. In their minds, they each accepted him who had been brought there by destiny and their chosen husband. So that all these girls decided within their mind. It means they didn't necessarily speak it to their other girlfriends that were nearby. Mm-hmm. By their bashfulness, by their qualities, they simply desired it. And Krishna, who is Antaryami, who is within the heart of everyone, understands the desire of everyone and reciprocates accordingly. This is stated in Adi Lila, chapter 4, verse number 19. It's a beautiful verse. It's about the confidential reasons for Mahaprabhu's descent. There it says that the Supreme Lord, Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes the Supreme Lord, stating that when somebody wishes to worship me in a particular way, then I reciprocate with him according with them according to that desire. And that is my natural condition. So, when the girls wanted him as a husband, sincerely within their heart they desired that, the Supreme Lord said, all right, and just accepted their desire. That's all, out of his cause of mercy. Because otherwise, no way would they be able to be married if they went back to their father's care afterwards. They would simply have to remain under their father's protection. And it would cause a lot of, you know, 16,100 ladies is a lot of burden when you go back to your father, you know, and your father, and what do fathers want? I want to give up management. I've been managing too long. I just want to get my kids married and I want to get out, you know. You know, like any other householder wants to do, you know, after, you know, 25, 30 years of slogging away. You know, kings had enough of management, you know, taking care of villages, hearing all the complaints of all the local people, worrying about their prestige, you know, and about the desires. You know, and the last thing you want is a scandal. That here's your daughter back from, you know, from being kidnapped, and, you know, and for your prestige of your raja, of your kingdom, we're not going to let you, you know, do anything weird, you know. When, how am I going to retire? How am I going to go into be a vanaprastha? And if my, unless my daughter's got to go with me and my wife to the forest, you know, what am I, you know. It's like that. Krishna did this also to satisfy the anxiety of all the husbands. I mean, of all the fathers of those poor girls who were simply in anxiety. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my daughter, you know, they had that responsibility. They couldn't even go to the forest themselves to peacefully think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until they got that burden lifted. At least they were thinking like that. So Krishna, by one stroke, accepting that heartfelt desire of those princesses, huh, who had no other possibility of getting a husband. Not only was the most endowable, the most beautiful of all males, he was a Kshatriya. And it was just right. Look, he's the most beautiful of all Kshatriyas, most powerful. He just defeated the rascal who kidnapped us, you know, by his heroics. And it was just right. You know, you can defeat parties in Kshatriya valor. You can defeat the parties by heroics and steal the girls. Well, we were stolen by that rascal and he killed them. So what's wrong with him stealing us? Of course he could steal us. It would be nice. He's already stole us by his beauty. You know, so why didn't he actually just do it? Why didn't he actually just steal us? And our fathers would be relieved of all the burden and anxiety. Our fathers would surely be relieved, and it would be great for everybody. You know, and they were just like hoping against hope. You know, they were so. But how will it be possible? They thought, as mentioned in Krishna book, they were thinking, is it going to be possible? Would it be possible that Krishna would accept us as his wife? How could it be possible? You know, it's like they're thinking. But Krishna manifests himself. And he gave each and every one of them, you know, their own individual palace, you know, with servants, with all opulences and endowment, and bestowed each and every one of those girls with 10 children to completely satisfy their heart. And it's not that Prabhupada said that each girl has to be crying, thinking that the head co-wife is the one who gets Krishna's company, and we all have to suffer and see Krishna once in the blue moon, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Blue moon, incidentally, is when two purnimas are back to back. two consecutive days of full moon. Pretty rare. A couple times a year, maximum, you know. So those poor girls could think like, will it be with our pati only very rarely? Huh? And we get to be in a palace all by ourselves, you know, with a bunch of maidservants and no fun, you know. It's not like that. No, Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 Krishnas, and he was served by each one of them personally. They got to serve him, Krishna, personally. They got to be with Krishna personally to her full heart's desire. It's ecstatic. It's amazing how Krishna, as Akila Rasamrita Murti, is able to be to satisfy each and every devotee's desire. And this way, each and every queen got to be with Krishna. Then, those 16,100 Krishnas and 8 different Krishnas, they all went to the Sudharma assembly house and like that, his sabha, where he would give audience to the praja, to the citizens who came and had different questions or different problems that Krishna had to take care of. And all those 16,108 Krishnas became one Krishna. Like that. And in the evening time, they would go back. Back to their queens, back to their palaces. So each girl got Krishna, the Lord of her life, completely. We can't even imagine, the level of their bhakti. That by their love and devotion and attachment was so strong, their contemplation on Krishna was so ekena manasa, that Krishna agreed to expand himself continually, perpetually, to be by their side. What kind of bhakti they had. And that after the Krishna Sabha was over, then Krishna would immediately manifest himself. And usually, these 16,108 manifestations of Krishna were unseen and unobservable to everybody else. Krishna did this all the time. Krishna did that during Rasa Leela. He expanded himself to be by each and every one of the gopis at the time of Rasa. He did that daily in front of each and every friend. As Krishna opened, as the boys would open their tiffin, they would say, Krishna, my mother has made this very nice thing. You should have it. And Krishna would go, really? It's so? And he would squat in front of each and every boy and reach in their tiffin. And the boy would think, ah, I'm so lucky. Kanu is in front of me. Ooh, you know? And he wouldn't look left and he wouldn't look right. He would just look straight ahead at his friend. But he didn't know that the next fellow, Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the next fellow would say, Krishna, my mother has made this very nice thing. You should have it. And Krishna goes, really? That's true? Oh, really? And then Krishna would squat in front of that boy and reach and take something out of his tiffin. Ah, I'm so lucky. Krishna's in front of me. And the next boy goes, Krishna, my mother made this very nice thing. You should have it. Why should you have it? Because it's actually what his mother really wanted. You know? That when you take this tiffin, you're going to take this tiffin with you to the forest and you'll share it with your friend. And this is what I want. Because all the ladies of Braja wanted Krishna to feed Krishna something, either their milk from their breast, or some snack, or something. Krishna was the delight of all the Brajavasis. And actually, that's actually the fact. Because in Braj, children would run into each other's houses and eat sweets and yogurt and everything was available for them. They could go into anybody's house. It wasn't, who are you, kid? You know, my son is busy. Get out of here. You know, it's not like that. It was never like that. You know? What's the matter, kid? What's the matter? Why are you stealing our stuff? You know, you don't have any good yogurt or anything in your house? Come on, go back to your house, you know. Go back, bother your mother. Leave me alone, you know. It's not like that. No, all the Vrajavasis thought that Krishna was indeed ours, you know? And we have such a wonderful opportunity to give him nice things. In fact, they so much wanted to satisfy Krishna that Krishna actually took advantage of Brahmajis stealing the boys and the calves. Actually, they were not stolen. They were just like incognito by Brahma's mystic potency. Living in the forest, they were in suspended animation for a whole year, and they didn't actually get hungry or anything. They totally forgot it. When Krishna came back, after all, Krishna expanded himself for a whole year as another set of cows, another set of boys, you know, with all their different characteristics, just so that their mothers, the cows' mothers, and the Brajavasi ladies would be completely satisfied with their lala, you know? And their love for their, for Krishna grew, because there was actually Krishna in the form of their child, and by serving Krishna, their affection, you know, for Krishna expanded exponentially. Then later on, when Dauji saw that an extraordinary affection of the cows for their calves, an extraordinary affection of the coward men for these children, he said, "This is very strange. You know, they love their children just like they love Krishna. And this is very strange," Dauji thought. An extraordinary you know, manifestation of affection between the elderly men of Vrindavan and their sons, or the cows and their grown-up cows, you know, calves, their grown-up calves, which were already grown, that didn't need their mother's milk anymore. And Dauji was thinking, they must all be expansions of Krishna. And then when Dauji thought like that, then Dauji presented it to Krishna that, "Hey, Krishna, what's going on?" And I think like this. And then Krishna said, "Yeah, you got it." You know? And Krishna told him, all because all the ladies of Praja wanted to give Krishna just as much as they give. You know? And when they got the chance to see Krishna, they wanted Krishna very much to come and visit them. So much so that Krishna did that. In the evening time, in Govinda Vallabha Natakam, it mentions that Sri Dhamma was whispering with Krishna. And Dauji goes, "What are you doing? You're talking. You're talking to Krishna very silently. You're not including me." And he goes, "Well, to satisfy the desires of my mother." "What's that?" "Well, she's inviting you and Krishna to come to our house." "And what will you give us?" "Well, everything in our house belongs to you." "Is that a fact?" "Yes." "Will you give us wine?" "Yeah." "Well, then let's go immediately." And then Dauji went there. You know, they went the shortcut, Rasta. The other cow boys, they have to go by the long road from Nandagaon to Varshama, right? They got to go this way, right? But they went. You know, they went to Rishabhanupur, you know, through the forest. The shortcut, Rasta. Dauji got so eager. And as soon as they got there, then Sushila, the mother of Sudama, they had a very nice golden tali. They had all a bunch of girls ready, you know, because Sudama slipped ahead. Sri Dhamma said, "Sudama, run home. Tell their mothers that their desire of their heart is being fulfilled. Kanu and Dauji is coming." "Really?" You know, so then he ran off. "What is this?" Kirtidi goes, "Huh? Sudama? What are you doing here so fast without your brother, Sri Dhamma? What's going on?" Mother, what you desire in your heart is being fulfilled. Dauji and Kanu are coming just now to see us." "Oh." Immediately, they called all the girls of the village. "Come on, let's have a nice welcoming swagata." So all these girls were out there with their matkas, you know, and their mango leaves and uludwani, and Krishna was coming in. Krishna's coming in with Dauji. And Sushila brought a golden thali, you know, with deepams, and was offering that golden thali like this to Krishna, you know, it's for swagatam, you know, while the girls were going, and then Krishna was coming, right? And then Kirtita was nervous. "Sri Dhamma, Kanu is here now in our palace. What should we give him?" "Bring some kadambari." Sura? "Liquor." "Would that be appropriate?" "Well, I promise, mother." So she brought out this matka. And Dauji goes, seeing it, Dauji became very happy. And he goes, "Krishna, this is very nice. This is wonderful. Would you like to share this with me?" But on second thought, "Actually, you're a little young." And then Dauji quaffs it, you know. Dauji quaffs it and becomes happy. And then Kirtan goes, "Dauji, if you're happy, could I beg a benediction?" "Sure, mother, name it." "Could you please protect my two boys, Sri Dham and Sudham, in the forest?" You know, and she pulls out another matka, and Krishna sees it. He goes, "He's had enough." "But mother," Dauji goes, "that's already going on." I'm protecting Sri Dham and Sudham in the forest. It's already going on. Now, the interesting thing in the drama, she's asking, please protect my two boys, Sri Dham and Sudama. Sri Dham was her son. Sudama was Sushila's son. But the point was, it didn't matter whether it was Chandrabanu, Banu, Brihadbanu, or Vrishabanu. These two four Banu brothers, right? They're there in Varshana, right? And their palaces are conjointly, it's there, you know, next to each other. But all their children are their family. It's their parivar. It's their whole village. These are our children. It wasn't, this is my child and your kid, you know, to hell with it. It's not like that, you know. You know, my kid is great and your kid is Gobar. You know, it's not like that. It's not like that. These are our kids. Our sons, Sudama and Sridhama. Like that. So it's interesting. So in the same way, Krishna was our kid. Although he's Nandaraja, he's our kid, right? Now, in competition, that's when they have a little pratak bhava, but that's just for fun. Like Sridhama, the bhajan is there by Suradasa, that at the time of play, who's the master? I beat you fair and square in the game. We don't live in your house. We don't eat your food. And just because you have a few more cows than us gives you no right to change the rules of the game. And he said, just because you've got a few more cows than us doesn't mean you can't change the rules of the game. And he said, we beat you fair and square and you're staying outside with your cows and you're simply lamenting. And he like this, he goes, if you don't play right the rules of the game, we're not going to play with you from tomorrow. We will complain to Mother Yashoda and Nanda. We won't play with you from tomorrow. Then Krishna thinks, this is very serious. If they won't play with me from tomorrow, that's very serious. So Krishna takes a, you know, Sridham is pretty intense. So Krishna bows his head and thinks very carefully about the consequences. Then he takes a vow in the name of Nanda Maharaj, all right, I'll be the horse. Now you got to understand what the horse means. If your friend is going to climb on your shoulders, then this horse is lousy. You know, this horse is too slow. You know, and he's going to dig his heels in the shin of the horse. Get moving, you know. What a lousy horse, you know. And, you know, it means he's going to demean you. You know, he's going to razz you. And Krishna didn't want to be razzed by Sridhama. But Sridhama's bhava is like that. Bhakti Rasamrita says, Pita Mardaka. His bhava. Today, I'm going to beat the chief. In the Rangashala, I'm going to win and I'm going to beat him. And that's his bhava. And because that's his bhava, bhava grahi Janardana. Janardana is grabbing his bhava, is accepting his bhava. All right, Sridhama wants to defeat me. Let him have his fun, you know. So, to please Sridhama, then afterwards, after defeating Krishna, then what does Sridhama do? Sridhama hugs Krishna. And by hugging Krishna, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, that when Sridhama hugs Krishna, everything becomes stunned. Sridhama becomes totally stunned with joy, hugging Krishna. It mentions, Pashyotshikta valachai varlalate vasas tadina manjule pronamalada vanamalika purimalastome tamala tvishi uchad yambakachata kanchmitaraser dambo darambo dare. Sri Dhamma Romani Aroma Kalika Kirananga Shaki Babo. Rupa Goswami writes that just seeing these two boys have nice yellow dhotis on and they're of dark complexion, and as they hug each other, their two garlands are smashing into each other and emanating a big fragrance of flower from their flower garlands. It's just like this Sridhama is like a tamal color. It's like a tamal tree, a blackish tamal tree with a little bit of red in it. You know? Tamala tvashi. Uchat yambaka chataka. And all the colored boys, the chataka eyes of the colored boys are simply relishing this. Shmita dambodarambodare, the cloud of Damodar, smiling you know, so munificently, casting his smiles around. And the boys are all, you know, the eyes of the boys are all on these two as they hug each other. And that Sri Dhamma, Tamal complexion, has got horripilations, you know, goosebumps on his skin, just like the bumps on a Tamal tree, it said, as he hugs Krishna. How wonderful. So this is what happens. After Krishna agrees to be defeated, then Sri Dhamma realizes that Krishna satisfied my very desire to beat him today, and now we're going to hug him. And then they hug Krishna and feels completely satisfied in his heart by hugging Krishna. Then sometimes Krishna would disappear, and because he has to go to satisfy so many devotees' hearts. So sometimes he was so concerned to satisfy their desires that he would disappear. And when he disappears, he didn't tell Sri Dhamma and Sudama where he went. And they said, "Where's Krishna?" And then immediately they would fall down in separation. They could hardly breathe in separation from Krishna. Kaha Krishna. Then Krishna, hearing them, their pain, the boys have practically fallen on the ground with pain and separation that Krishna is not there. Then Krishna would play his Murali flute. Murali flute has 15 holes, or 18 holes, depending on the size. And he would play on this flute and give them energy. Hearing the sound of Krishna's flute in their ears would give them energy. And then they would open their eyes and look to the sky and say, "Kota Krishna, where is Krishna now?" Then Krishna would come before them. Then Sri Dhamma would look very angry at Krishna. "Then, my dear Krishna, if we cannot see you for a moment, then what kind of catastrophe happens in our hearts? Just look at the faces of all these boys. Can't you see all the anxiety written on their face? Now you must go and embrace each and every boy to his chest, and satisfy his burning separation." So Krishna would immediately, on the order of Sri Dhamma, Krishna would immediately expand himself into thousands of forms to embrace each and every boy simultaneously. And upon being embraced by Krishna, they would black out. The boys would literally lose consciousness momentarily. And naturally, while they're being hugged by Krishna, they're not going to look left, and they're not going to look right. And they don't know that Krishna's hugging the next boy right next to me. I don't see anything. All I know is Krishna's hugging me, and that's all. And they had no idea that Krishna's hugging each and every boy to his chest. When I read that, I was thinking, whoa, how powerful is the order of Sri Dhamma? Sri Dhamma beats Krishna, hugs Krishna, and when Krishna disappears, chastises Krishna and forces him to expand himself into thousands of forms to hug each and every coward boy. How powerful is Sri Dhamma's order? And how amazing it is, how effortlessly it is that Krishna expands himself into thousands of forms. Another example in the Vishnu Purana that the boys wanted to play, and they were running. Krishna was going up ahead to see some beautiful feature of Braj, and then the boy said, "Hey, look at Kanu, he's just up ahead. I'm going to catch him." "Nah, you're not going to catch him. I'm going to catch him. I'm going to touch him first." "Nah, you cannot go. I'm going to catch him." And this way they started to run. And they started to run. "We're going to catch Krishna." And they were running. And Krishna was seeing that. So Vishnu Purana described that immediately all these crowds of boys are all in competition with each other. "We're going to touch Krishna first, and I'm going to touch him and not you." And in this way, they were all bolting, you know, running toward Krishna. Krishna immediately, Vishnu Purana said, expanded himself into 10 forms to satisfy their desire to touch him. Then upon reaching Krishna, they said, "Tell us which one of us touched you first." Now, Krishna does not want to divide his friends. He doesn't want to disappoint anybody. So he's such a punk diplomat. He goes, "It doesn't matter which one of you have touched me first, because you've all come to be with me." And they go, "Oh." Krishna immediately diffuses everything. "Tell us which one touched you first." "It doesn't matter. You've all come to be with me."
Oh.
But all with Krishna.
Oh.
No disappointment. All the boys get satisfied. And no one is disappointed. All the princesses get to have Krishna as their husband. And not one girl gets let down. You're too ugly. You can't have Krishna as your husband. You know, can you imagine? Not one girl was let down. Krishna said, all right, you all want me as your husband? Okay. Oh, my father will be so relieved. Oh, my heart will be so happy. And daily, she gets to be with Krishna. Daily. Oh, it's not a big deal. I just expand myself when I come and be with you. Amazing. Not one girl. You can't marry Krishna. You're too ugly. You know what I mean? You're too stupid. You're too ugly. You know, not one girl got disappointed. You know what's amazing about this pastime and the many pastimes where Krishna expands himself? And by the power of Yoga Maya, nobody knows what's going on. By the power of Yoga Maya, nobody knows. No gopi knows that Krishna has expanded himself to dance for the girl right next to me. Now there's other pictures like that. But it basically showed that sometimes Krishna was like Rasa Leela, and the girl's got a mandali, you know, and they're like holding hands like this. But I was thinking, how can that be? How can that be? You know, because if a girl's got, look, my right hand I got Krishna, and my left hand I got Krishna. What's going on? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? When I see that picture, that wait a minute, this can't be, you know. No, like, this must be really confusing. What's going on? I got Krishna in my right hand. I got Krishna in my left hand. What would each girl think? What's going on? Will the real Krishna stand up? You know, I mean, that's like, we want the real Krishna. I don't want, you know, it's not, you know, it's, you know, it's. So when I looked at that photograph, I thought, wait a minute, this can't be the right photograph. You know, the artist did that. It can't be the right thing. Now, mandalis were there. It is stated that the gopis would all grab their heads together and surround Krishna and Dauji. This is mentioned in the 10th canto, 34th chapter, verse 24, that in holy day, Gaur Purnima, holy day, these both Krishna and Dauji both played their flutes and attracted their respective gopis to come in the night. And all these girls, Krishna's Priya and Rama's Priya, they all took their hands together in a mandali. That's described in Bhagavatam. We'll believe that all these girls can hold their hands together in a mandali, in a circle, and Krishna and Dauji will be in the middle playing their flutes to please them. That's then stated in Bhagavatam. That we can accept. But I can't accept, unless I see some solid praman, that Krishna was in the hand of each and every gopi. You know, like that. That I got Krishna in my right hand and I got Krishna in my left hand. It just doesn't sound like how Yoga Maya is going to work. It doesn't appear to be how Yoga Maya is going to work. But how Yoga Maya does work is that the boys don't know that Krishna's eating out of my tiffin. That's all I know. I don't know that Krishna's eating out of everybody's tiffin. You know? Or that Krishna's with each and every girl dancing to her hearts in Rasa Leela. And Krishna's not with the other girl. They don't need to see that. They don't see that. Or Krishna's with each side of each and every princess in Dwaraka. Yoga Maya works all these things to satisfy the heart. Krishna expands himself to accept the milk of each and every cow of Braj. You know, and it's interesting. Bilba Mangala Thakur says that in the evening, one neat verse. Ago duli du sarita ko malago paveshe. Ago pala bala kashate anugamya manam. Shayantene pratigriham pasubandhanartham. Gachchanti achuta shishum pranatos minityam. He's covered with the dust of the cows. Huh? Komala Gopa Vesha, and he has a very soft form of a coward boy. Gopala Balaka Shate, and he's accompanied by thousands of Shate, hundreds of boys. Anugamyamana, following him as he walks along. Shayantane at the time of dusk, Pratigriham, to every house. Now this is unique. Pratigriham, to every house, Pasubandhanartha, for the purpose of helping the boys tether their cows. Now each boy's got thousands of cows, right? And Krishna loves his friends so much that many times, Bilba Mangala Thakur said, he'll go with each and every boy just to help him tether his cows. Because the boys did that with him. The boys would come in the morning, Govinda Lalama just says, and help Krishna take care of his cows. Help him milk his cows, take care of his cows in the morning. So Krishna just simply returns the favor. I'll also go with you to your house and help you tether your cows. Ashuta Shishum, the boy, the infallible Supreme Lord in the form of a coward boy. He's infallible. Otherwise, how could he go? Pratigriham. Unless he's infallible, how could he expand himself to go to Pratigriham? Pasubandhanartham. To help you tether your cows. Pranatosmi Nitya. I offer my respectful obeisances as always to How nice. How nice. These girls simply wanted it. We're princesses. We deserve a king. We deserve a prince to be our husband, you know? And we're so forlorn. And how are we going to become successful, you know? And here comes Krishna killing Bhomasura and rescues them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the, you know, Dina Vatsala, how wonderful Krishna is, Dina Vatsala. What's this got to do with us? What's this got to do with us? We're all Dina. And Krishna is Dina Vatsala. As they say in Hindi, Dina Bandhu Dina Na, Mera Jodi Teri Haath. You know, that's it. My life is in your hands, that's it. So all of us, we can hanker for Krishna in our particular way. As long as it's authorized, as long as it's within Shastra. As long as it's within the four primary relationships. And if we hanker enough and strive for enough, Krishna can steal our hearts in that way. And Bhagavatam mentions that. Yada yada diya to urugaya vibhavayanti. Whatever the devotee is contemplating, ta urugaya. Now what's interesting is urugaya means Krishna who is sung, who is glorified by loud chanting. So it means indirectly that those devotees are hankering after the Lord. Urugaya, we should chant Krishna's glories loudly. If you want Krishna bad enough, then you should definitely sing loudly. The desire should be so strong. Yada yada di'a ta urugaya vibhava. Whatever they're hankering in their heart, they sing it very loudly. Ta urugaya vibhavayanti. The end of their bhavas. Vibhavayanti. Tad vipu, that very same form, pranayase, he'll manifest saranugrahaya, out of his causeless mercy. It really shows you that greed is something to perpetually work at. Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The greed to get Krishna is the root of bhakti. And janma koti sukratir nalabhyate. Millions of bursts of pious activities, you won't get it. Rupa Goswami says, it's not obtained by millions of births of pious activities otherwise. This greed to get Krishna, so much so that you call out for it. Daki jadi kono jan hoye dina akinshan nahi teki anya pratikar. We have to call out. And this is the real quality of a devotee, calling out for Krishna. Huh? How nice. And Krishna is so kind that whatever way that the devotee hankers for it, he comes in that very same sweet form just to satisfy them. It's adbhut, but it's Krishna's company policy. He does it all the time. And because every living entity is vibhinamsha, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna, it's easy for Krishna. It's nothing for Krishna. Krishna can do it. He's already there within the heart. He already knows everything. He can just expand himself and give himself to his devotee. It's so nice. So this process is so good. When Prabhupada said that in 1971, and I heard it in 1972, it was charming. You take one step towards Krishna, and Krishna takes 10 steps toward you. I thought, what? Krishna would take 10 steps to a jerk like me? Stupid punk, you know? Insignificant kid with no qualifications whatsoever. Just an ordinary, stupid, you know, kid. How quaint. How charming. How pacifying. How neat. how great. And Krishna does it for each and every living entity. So this process of bhakti is so auspicious. There's never any loss. Keep Krishna's name in the tongue, engage in Krishna's service, keep Krishna's devotees in your friendship, and dance back to Godhead. How long will it take? Depends on our greed. Let's increase the greed, right? Then time is very short. Time is very short. And if our greed is less and distraction is more, well, it'll take a little longer, but eventually. Anyone who takes shelter will never lose. Eventually we'll get the desire of our heart. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments? Just like those wonderful princesses. Look at the handsome man. Oh, wow. What a wonderful king. The king of Dwarka has come to save us. Wow. Could he be our husband? Sure, Lali. Krishna is so kind. Just to satisfy your heart and pacify your father. Yeah, Krishna will accept you. How wonderful. Questions now? Yeah.
In everyone's heart there is soul. So in everyone's soul Krishna is there. So why all the Karmis and all these people?
Why the what?
Why all Karmis? Like us have to suffer from the hellish 28 types of hellish planets.
Why what?
Why the soul have to suffer from the 28 types of hell from that?
The soul doesn't suffer.
Because soul is already enjoying
the soul does not suffer. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. The whole does not suffer. The subtle body suffers. The man, buddhi, and ahankara, that suffers. But bhotik, the bhotik man, the bhotik buddhi, and the bhotik sarira, shukshma sarira, the subtle body, that's undergoing tribulation. But the jiva is transcendental. Soul doesn't suffer. Okay? Yes, Prabhu?
Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami very elaborately explains Krishna's pastimes and their conversations. In Braj. But in Bhagavatam we don't see that much detailed conversations or pastimes of Krishna. So why Shukadeva Goswami is about it?
We don't see any detailed passages of where?
In Srimad Bhagavatam.
About what?
Krishna pastime in Vrindavan.
Vrindavan? They're there in the commentaries and mostly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a lot.
Any reason why?
He gives a lot. He wrote, but they wrote in another poetry. Other poetry, Rupa Goswami describes a lot more. One is the untitled description of Krishna's pastimes. He describes it in chandas, in that particular poetry style, all the way up to the killing of Kamsa. Rupa Goswami does. Astadasa chandastava. Really long chandas, but in between there's like an interesting Sanskrit shloka. For each pastime, that's easier to swallow than the whole chanda. But he does it all the way up to killing of Kamsa. Because after the killing of Kamsa, Krishna becomes, you know, Mathura-nand. It's another bhava. Rupa Goswami stays in Braj, you know. It's in poetry they write, in other poetries.
So are these books available?
Kushagra translated a lot before he gave up his body. Not all of it has become digitalized. Some of it is there, but not all has become digitalized.
So yeah,
e-books are not available, not all of them available. Something is available. You know what? But what is available is probably more than you can drink. More than you can swallow right away. So let's just say, start drinking what you can get your fingers on, right? And then worry about the rest later on after you finish drinking the first stuff, right? What should you worry about the next apple when you haven't finished that apple first? Eat one apple and then talk about another one. You know what I mean? Have you finished eating all the other stuff? Like Prabhupada, we have to finish our meal, you know what I mean? What are we worried about? We have to finish digesting some things first. According to our greed, Krishna will provide us. But first deserve, then desire, right? So first things first, right? Go ahead and memorize so many nice things. A lot there already in Bhagavatam. But if you're absorbed in particular pastimes of the Lord, if you like it, Krishna will give you more. If you want it, you know, if you like particular pastimes of the Lord and you hear and chant about that and you memorize that far, and if you want more about that particular pastime, Krishna will give you the brains. Where to research, where to find more, you know, where to find more details about that particular leela that you really like, you know, Krishna will give you more. You know, like that. It's a question of loba. Krishna will give it at the time. But first, eat what's on our plate first. Right? Is that right? They have translated a lot, and it can be, and eventually somebody's going to scan them, I'm sure, like that, and get them in. I was thinking about that sometimes, but, you know, time is not in my head. But I'm thinking about it. Keshava Bharati Goswami and Govardhan's got a lot, and we could scan it up and get it recognized and throw it in, you know, but somebody has to be deputed to do it. Can be done. It can be done. Anything else? Any other questions? Jai Ma.
You were mentioning about all the praying of Krishna. So, like in Madhuri Rasa, we know that there are servants, like the Mandiris are the main servants of Govi, and then they have their main servants, and they have been the servant of the servant of Govi. So, similarly, that Mandiris and Sakya Rasa also are the servants of the friends of
Govi. Yeah. Prabhupada Bhakti Rasarana describes 64. That the eight chief friends, they each have eight friends each. And they help when Krishna comes to their particular kunja in the daytime. And these eight boys are in charge of serving Krishna along with that main major friend in that particular kunja. It mentions. Now, this is what happens in the daytime. In the evening time, that kunja is handed over mostly to the girls. That same kunja that belongs to the boys, there's an agreement with a particular manjari. And that kunja goes over to a manjari at night. That's hers in the evening. It's as if there's a, you know, at a particular time of the day that it changes ownership, you know. It's just in the village these things go on, you know. It's friendship goes on, right? You can use that kunja, you know, in the evening. I don't need it at night. I go home and I hanker for Krishna, and I go and I take rest at 10 o'clock, and I don't let Krishna's hands go in my dreams, you know. And then the next morning, when the sun comes up, my joy starts. The color of their friendship is Aruna. When the sun comes up in the morning, it's described in Ujjvalindalamani, because the boys think, ah, the sun, we'll get to go and play, you know. The sun, that red sun in their sky, you know, is the dawning of their good fortune. The whole desires of that relationship is around that sun. Because when the sun comes up, we get to have fun with Mukunda. And that's great, you know. Whereas for the Manjaris, you know, all day long they're in separation from Mukunda. And only in the evening time, you know, when the sun goes down, can we hope to have any fun, you know. Right? The rest of the day we're in separation from Mukunda. So it's interesting. How in the daytime, the kunja will be there and taken care of by a particular coward boy and his friends, right? And his assistants. And the evening time, there's some arrangement. The kunja is taken care of by some manjaris, you know? Like that. He'll use it to serve Radha Madhava in different ways. Astounding. Yeah, everything is there according to the desire of the heart. You just simply have to pursue one-pointed vision in that way, you know? This is described in Madhya Leela chapter 22, verses number 154 and 156. There are two kinds of sadhana. Bahira antara ihara duitu sadhana. Ma'a sa Sarigadeya Kori Shavana Bhaya Sarigadeya Kori Shavana Kirtan. With our external body, we serve the spiritual master by hearing and chanting. Mani Nijasiddhadeya Kori Nabhava. With the purified mind, the devotee is contemplating their spiritual body. And Ratri Dine Kori Braja Krishna Sevan. Night and day they serve Krishna. Pretty exalted. It's an exalted platform. But this is what Raga Marga is about. Now, first deserve, then desire. So we have a lot of homework to catch up with, right? Before we get to the point of serving Krishna with a purified mind, we first have to make sure that all our external body is in tune with the previous acharyas. Then we can talk about the rest, you know? But the hankering is natural for the living entities. And Krishna is so kind that sometimes he comes in your mind and he encourages you, you know, just to encourage you on the path. He calls you, redresses you according to what you want, you know, just to encourage you that don't give up trying, just keep on the path. So auspicious. Even it's going to take a long time, and even if it may not be finished in this birth, but Krishna is so kind that if you desire a particular relationship with Krishna, many times he'll relate with you in that way. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says it's his natural condition. He naturally likes to do that. He does it, sadanugrahaya, out of his causeless mercy for you, just to encourage you. Stay on the path. Keep enthusiastic. Don't lose hope. You will attain me the way you want. It's a question of time. It's interesting. Krishna will satisfy you sometimes, and sometimes he plays hard to get. Like Narada Muni said, he said that I've only gave you darshan just once, O sinless one, just to increase your desire. Because by the desire, increasing your desire, you'll attain me. Those whose bhajan is imperfect can hardly see me. I gave you darshan just to increase your desire. So Krishna does that. Just to increase your desire. He will come in your heart, come in your mind, call you according to the way you want, and then disappear. Just to increase your greed. Keep at it. It's possible on Krishna's terms, not yours. But you can get there. Just keep at it. Don't lose faith. Just keep at it. And it all in this Kali Yuga, everything that comes from the name, Namadi. So everything comes from Krishna's names. Keep Krishna's name on the tongue. Keep in the association of devotees. Stay enthusiastic. Never lose faith. And keep going. And Krishna will be kind. As he always is. Is it going to happen at the end of this life? Prabhupada said, well, if you keep up the principles, yeah. But sometimes devotees have difficulties. Many devotees get extraordinary mercy. We've been hearing stories and stories of extraordinary mercy. ABCs, just ordinary simple devotees, living in the Dhamma, getting wonderful darshan before giving up their body and going on. It gives such tremendous faith to a devotee. So if we can stick with it, even ABCs can get extraordinary mercy. We just have to stick on the process. Jai Gornitai, Jai Radha Vallabha. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadramaya. Hare Krishna.